Welcome, everyone. You know, we live in a time where our cell phones are almost indispensable. You know, there was years ago when I fought even getting one, and then I fought changing, and I fought changing, and now I have this big old cell phone, and I guess I'm happy. And we do things with those phones. We Google with the phones. We text with the phones. We make phone calls with the phones. We call family. We call friends. We call even for service. When our gas goes out, we call the gas company. When the water goes out, you call the water company. And when the internet goes out, you just panic and call the internet service provider. When your car breaks down, you call the towing company. And it's a convenience in many ways. And when we really need help, when we need physical help, we don't even hesitate. You don't even blink. You pick up that phone right away. You call, you know, when something is physically wrong, when somebody's hurt or sick, you just call the doctor. You call the hospital. When your plumbing doesn't work, you call the plumber. And they take forever. But when you're physically hurt, you want to get help right now. You don't want to wait. And so you don't hesitate. And today, people, you know, there's people today even call the grocery store. My sons and my daughter, they call the grocery store. And the grocery store people pack all their food up. And all they do is drive up and open their trunk. And a lot of you know, though, that I enjoy the old black and white movies, and one of those series that I used to watch and still do is the old Andy Griffith Show. And on the old Andy Griffith Show, there was a show literally called Call the Man. And it is really kind of funny. And the story goes that Aunt B's trying to save money instead of going to the butcher in town that she's a patron to for many, many, many years, and he's always really good to her. She goes over to this other town and gets some beef at a cheap price. So she buys a half of a cow, a whole side of beef. And she gets it home, she puts it in her freezer, and her freezer starts to break down. And the freezer's shaking all over the place, and Andy comes home and, you know, Aunt B, why'd you buy all that meat? Well, I was saving money, but the freezer's broken, and he says, Aunt B, call the man, meaning call the repairman over there in Mount Pilot. Aunt B, call the man. And so she shrugs her shoulders, and he walks away. A little while later, he comes back, and the thing's being shaken all over. Aunt B, call the man. Just call the man. She won't call the man. She calls Gomer, and he comes over and electrocutes himself. And Andy says, Aunt B, call the man. And she says, but Andy, Aunt B, call the man. When you need the help, call the man. Well, the freezer broke down. She had to drag that meat all over town, getting chased by dogs. And she ended up taking the meat to that butcher that she didn't buy it from. And he was kind, and he stored her meat. And they ended up buying a new freezer. But what's really interesting, and the moral is, I guess, that when Andy came home, and they had to have a freezer, and Aunt B looked up at him and said, Andy, I guess I should have called the man. And unfortunately, spiritually, we're like that in our lives. Sometimes we don't call the man. We're afraid to call on Jesus for one reason or another. But it isn't hard to call on the name of the Lord. It's actually pretty straightforward and pretty simple. If you look in your Bibles in the book of Romans, chapter 10, in Romans chapter 10, in verses 8 through 17. And we're just, you know, reading through this, Paul simply says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preached. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings and good things, of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But I say, they have not heard. Yes, indeed, their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. Now, he's referring here, of course, to Israel, and they hear the word. It's there. It's nigh under their lips. It's in their hearts, their mouths, but they're not calling on the name of the Lord. In the Old Testament, Abraham called on the name of the Lord. He built a small. He built it. I can't think of the word. But he said, and he called right there, he called on the name of the Lord Jehovah in Genesis chapter 12 and at verse 8. Isaac did the exact same, building a small altar. Isaac built a small altar also. And in Genesis chapter 26, verse 25, it tells us he called upon the name of the Lord. David, he said, I call upon Jehovah who is worthy to be praised, and from my enemies I was saved. So David's associating being saved with calling upon the name of the Lord. And the prophecy is a very familiar prophecy. It surprises me. Most people, you know, they don't know it. But Joel said, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Joel 2 and 23. That sounds really familiar because we just read it. Quoted by Paul. I called on the Lord who is worthy. Who is worthy to be praised, and I have been set free from my enemies. Psalm 18 and 3. So calling on the name of the Lord is a good thing. And as we look at that in Romans 10, and we read those words, the words near your mouth and your heart, you know, just confess with your mouth, believe in him, and you won't be put to shame. Just simple thing. The same Lord who is rich over all, we call upon that Lord. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so we want to, you know, go through this, think about this. Remember on the day of Pentecost, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There were signs, wonders, and miracles which God did among the Jews when he was on the earth. And those Jews were witnesses of that. Acts chapter 2, verse 21 and 22. Acts chapter 22, verse 16, the Apostle Paul. You know, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized to wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. All those everywhere who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. Calling on the name of the Lord. Calling on the Lord. And so you think about those texts there in Romans, and we want to bring out just three very simple points, I hope, here. One is that they shall call on him whom they have not believed. Or how shall they call on him who they have, how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? So how is it that people, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? You know, unbelief leaves its mark everywhere. And it also leaves us totally powerless to make those necessary changes in our life. Unbelief is something that it makes it literally impossible to do what you want to do. In Matthew chapter 17, there's a good example of that. If you look there with me, Matthew chapter 17, verses beginning at verse 14, the multitude came to him, Jesus, kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. I'm sorry, a man came to him, and he says, kneel down, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water, so I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon. It came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. In verse 19, the disciples came to Jesus privately, and they said, why could we not cast it out? And this is where a lot of people have trouble, powerless in this world. Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For surely, as I say to you, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, move from here or from there, and it will be moved, and nothing will be impossible for you. You see that? However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. We become powerless. We can't call on the name of the Lord without faith. In other words, we go down that list of things that Paul talked about, and one of those things is that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Those Jews, they didn't believe. When you go to Acts chapter 2 and verses 1 through 36, and you hear those wonderful words of Paul, of Peter, And those people did not believe. They were the ones that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And they did so because they trusted in man, they trusted in their own hearts, and they did not trust in God. That was on the day of Pentecost. That was the day that the apostles were in the upper room. That's the day that the apostles received the power from on high, the gift that God promised them when they waited in Jerusalem. And that Spirit landed upon them. And that's when all the nations from everywhere came and gathered together. And Peter preached to them. And he raised up his voice. And those people heard him preach. And he told them their mistake. He told them their error. In verse 22, he says, hear these, Israel, O Israel, hear these words of Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, by wonders, signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. Wow. These people saw it. They were there. They experienced it. And they didn't call on the name of the Lord. You know, they did quite the opposite. Him being delivered by determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Now, I want you to picture this. Jesus is on the earth 3 years. These people are following him all around, hearing stories, seeing things with their own eyes. They saw Jesus heal the lame, the blind. They saw Jesus take somebody who couldn't hear and he was able to hear. Somebody who couldn't speak, he was able to speak. They saw Jesus, or they heard about him turning water into oinos, into wine. They saw Jesus that he would feed 5,000 with some bread and a little bit of bread and a little bit of fish. They saw all that. They were witnesses. 5,000 people plus men and women is not a small number. And yet, those same people, instead of calling on the Lord, they crucified him. What they called out was, crucify him. Give us Barabbas. But as you look at that, Peter's preaching these things to them. In verse 33, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out these things which you now see and hear. David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, ascend. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies my footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, something changed. So as we go through the rest of this lesson, and I want you to remember this, all this building up, everything they saw, all the miracles, all the signs, all the wonders, the raising of Lazarus, healing of the centurion's servant, the master's son, everything that happened, walking on water, everything that happened. And it took Peter's preaching to open their eyes. It took Peter's preaching to get them to pick up the phone. And Peter said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And so we'll wait there a second. You know, Paul himself wasn't the greatest before. He was a great Jew. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He worked. He studied under Gamaliel. He was a master at the law, and he was also a persecutor of the church. But he said himself, I did it in unbelief. Unbelief meaning I didn't believe that Jesus was. And what made Paul pick up the phone is Jesus came down from heaven and stood between him and Damascus on a road where Paul fell down on his face and he said, who is it, Lord? And Jesus instructed him and he followed those instructions. And the apostle Paul was saved. How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? You know the Gentiles who did not believe? They violent attempts were made both by the Gentiles and the Jews and their rulers to abuse and stone. But unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, poisoned their minds against the brethren. All these things were done by people who just refused to pick up the phone. And we do that in our life today a lot. We just, when it comes to the faith, sometimes we turn and talk to brethren. Sometimes we turn and we'll call a friend, and sometimes we'll call a preacher, and sometimes we'll even call somebody on the radio. And we just refuse to pick up that phone that's a direct line to God. It's literally a direct line to God. You know, we have Verizon and we have Sprint and something mobile, and we have all these different services that confuse everybody and just kind of take money out of your pocket. But there's a direct line to God. The service is called Jesus. And all you got to do is sign up. How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? You know, therefore I say unto you, says Jesus, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. That's how you do it. You pray to God. And Jesus, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Pick up the phone. Ask God for wisdom. He won't rebuke you. He won't charge you. He won't trouble you. He will just simply give you wisdom. Pick up the phone. Make the call. That's what James says. And listen, there isn't a man on earth that can live without unbelief in one way or another. How shall they call on him in whom they believe? Well, let's talk about a name. Calling on the name of the Lord. Well, when we think about a name, it's something that a person has. There's a name. It defines that person. And without definition, that name is meaningless. If I say to you, his name was Dave, and that's all I tell you, well, Dave who? Right? It's Barb. Barb who? Right? Calvin. Calvin who? Calvin Coolidge. We don't know. And so knowing a person defines them and associates something to that name. It gives us information about who they are, their character, everything they teach, the kinds of things they believe, everything they've done. Calling on the name means that you trust that one to whom you're calling. And that name is established by what they do, by what they said, by the name they were given. And so it's very important. For example, who said, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country? We know, right? Yeah, that's right. John F. Kennedy. Who said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall? Yeah, right. That was President Reagan. How about read my lips? No new taxes. You know, if I left that there, we could fill in the blanks, plural. But the one who's famous for saying that is George W. Bush. Where's the beef? You know, you might not be able to remember the name, Clara, but she's the one that was in that commercial. How about the atomic bomb? Can you associate that with a name in particular? Those of you that are much smarter than me can probably think of all the people that were on that team, but I can only think of one, and that's Albert Einstein. What about bifocals? Who invented bifocals? Who's accredited for inventing bifocals? Benjamin Franklin. The cotton gin, right? Eli Whitney. So let me give you a few. Born of a virgin. Raised the dead to life. Walked on water. Helped the lame to walk. The blind to see. The deaf to speak. He was a teacher with authority. A prophet. A King of kings and a Lord of lords. The Son of the living God. Crucified for our sins. And He is risen from the grave. Savior of the world. Who is it? Who is it? Yeah. Don't be afraid to say that. Jesus. You know that name. You know what it means. You know what it represents. You know the power behind the name. You know all the facts. If you're in this room right now, you know everything I just said. I have complete confidence. Of course it's Jesus. Nobody else could do that. Nobody else could heal the blind just by a word or a touch. Nobody else could raise a man up off of a bed that he's been on since birth. Nobody else can heal a cripple. Nobody else could be able to take a couple pieces of fish and bread and feed 5,000. Nobody else could do those things. It was Jesus. Why would you not call the man? Why? I think He's worth calling. I really do. And I think He's worth calling in truth. Because He is the one He's the only one that has the power and the authority. He's the only one that has the power to save our souls from eternal death. Why would you not call on that name? You know, sooner or later, every person in this room, young and old, every one of us is going to need help in some way or another. Your car is going to break down, you got to call a tow truck. You cut your finger, you got to call a doctor. Right? Your sink plugs up, you call a plumber. Your refrigerator doesn't work, you call the man. All those things. Your AC in the summer, you call the air conditioning guy, the heating guy. Your roof leaks, you call a roofer. When your soul isn't right, when you know for sure because you've heard the message that you're in sin, why would you not call the man? Why? And I want to tell you, that doesn't just apply to people who have not yet called upon the name of the Lord. That doesn't apply just to people who have refused to call on the name of the Lord. That doesn't just apply to people who are just absolutely just not convinced. It applies to people who have already called on the name of the Lord and commit sin after sin after sin. This morning we talked about people who see things they shouldn't see and they continue to do so. And they don't call on the name of the Lord to repent. We have people in the churches all around. There are four churches that I know of personally that closed their doors because of fear. Four churches ended up closing their doors because their members were living in fear of the things of this world instead of the fear of the Lord. And if you remember the teaching of Jesus, he said, don't you fear men who can destroy your body. They can kill you. You don't worry about things that can kill you. You worry about him who can destroy both the body and the soul in hell. And people live in fear. And they refuse to worship God as he was commanding them. Sooner or later, everybody's going to need help. And I scratch my head and I don't understand. We know what sin is. And when we refuse to call the only one that can take that sin away, the only expert, if your pipes don't work, you call the plumber. If your soul isn't saved, you call the Savior. If you need to be washed, you call the Savior. If you need to repent and to be restored, you call the only one that can do that. So how do we call him? The apostles, you know, they were there. They were the preachers. You know, Paul, I have not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. Right? But the word of the Lord stands forever, Peter says. And today, in the world, the Lord God is our preacher through the Word. If you believe in Him through the Word, John chapter 17 and verse 20. The Word which Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that Word that was being perfected, as Paul referred to it. That Word that which is being perfected, that became perfect. And because of that Word that we have, we no longer need to see Jesus walking on water. We no longer need to see signs, wonders, and miracles. We no longer need any of these vision things. We have the Word of truth. We have the Word of God. We have the power of God. It's right here. And it tells us, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And why would we not do that? Jude said it's the word that was once for all delivered to the saints. The word, James says, which is able to save your souls. As newborn babes, right, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby, Peter says. When we breathe this word in, that's what we're doing. When we call on the name of the Lord, we breathe in that word. Lamentations 3, thou hast heard my voice, hide not thine ear. At my breathing, at my cry. Calling on the name of the Lord is equivalent to spiritual breathing. It's when you finally give up your own and breathe for God. You finally give up your stubbornness and you breathe to God. It's a spiritual, because of the Word of God, a way to breathe. Physical breathing, we need it for life. It's good. You know, you breathe out the bad air, breathe in the good air. How much more is spiritual breathing? Breathe in what is good and blow out what is bad. And that might be a summation of the Apostle Paul when it said he prayed without ceasing. He probably prayed as he breathed in and prayed as he breathed out. Who knows? Who knows? And we drink in the Lord. Right? Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. That's what he told that Samaritan woman at the well. But the water that I shall give him, it will be a wellspring, springing up to everlasting life. Why would you not call that man? Spiritually, we get thirsty. I know I did. And I think every soul that's ever called on the name of the Lord for salvation has done that very thing. They thirst for the Word of God. And the only thing that's going to quench that kind of a thirst is the Word of God. You know, we participate in His mercy. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call on You. That's what happens when you call on the name of the Lord. What a wonderful thing that is. We're undeserving, but He's good. Why would we not call on the name of the Lord? Why? Turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 14. Why would you not call on the... I just don't get it. We sin. As Christians, we know the only avenue is to call on the name of the Lord. Jesus Christ, according to John, chapter 1 John chapter 2, right? These things I write to you, my little children, we have an advocate. If you sin, we have an advocate in the world. That advocate is Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He's able to be that propitiation for our sins. Not just our sins, but the sins of the whole world. We can call on Jesus, and He will save us. He will help us to repent, to get back on track. He will help us to repent and get on track. All we do is believe the Word. And let our mouths do what our hearts keep telling it to do. But I think too many of us have traps, mouse traps or locks or something on our lips that our heart keeps saying, just get up and do it. I know it's right. I know I should be doing this. And we don't pick up the phone. We don't pick up the phone. How many times in our lives have we done that in the physical world? When my wife can tell you I'm guilty. I am. I got this really, really bad pain over here. And she says, call the man. Call the doctor. No, I'm going to wait. And you know what? My sin on that went right into my son Tony. Because my son Tony was laying on the floor in his apartment in the fetal position for a day and a half. He couldn't get off the floor. It got to the point where, you know, his wife kept saying, let me call the doctor, call the doctor, call help. No, 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 I'm going to be okay, I'm going to be okay. Stubborn! He had an appendix that burst. And by the blessing and the glory and the mercy of God, he's still with us today. You know what? When he had that problem, you know who he called? He didn't call the hospital. He didn't call an ambulance. He didn't call a doctor. He called me. And what do you think I told him? Call the man. Why would we not do that? You know, in this physical world, we have sin. John says, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar, and the truth is not in you. If you say you haven't sinned, you make God a liar. No matter what you do, there's no question. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we know that. Everybody in this room knows that. Why would you not call the man? Why? Revelation chapter 14 and verse 15. This is the last call. It says, this is the last call. Verse 15, another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. That, my friends, is the last call. So he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. In other words, judgment day. It's over. If we're not right, something's wrong, you make the call. It's that simple. Well, if you go back to Acts with me now as we close, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Remember that last verse we read was verse 36. And Peter has just preached a great sermon. He has told these people, you were there, you saw it. You're not blind. He's telling us all here today, you're the same way. You read it. You heard the witnesses. There's no reason not to believe it. There's nothing in this world that you could call reasonable that would convince somebody not to believe it except stubbornness. Because I want to tell you, in the book of Romans, God tells us through the Spirit to just look. When Brother Randy first came in tonight, he told me all about Venus out there. You look out in the western sky and you see this big giant glow, bright thing. It looks like a big giant star. That's Venus. Beautiful. And astrologers, astronomers, scientists, all these people, they tell us, but boy, this universe is ordered. You know, they used to think it was just a blast, but they tell us today it's ordered. You can look it up. They're even convinced there was no Big Bang, no like unknown, unintelligible. They believed there had to be something, and that something was God. You look at everything that's made out there, from these little flowers to the beautiful, majestic hills and mountains and valleys to the heavens above, and you realize that everything is in perfect unity. It's all in harmony. It all has proportion. It all has design. There's no question of it. From the atom, or even the electrons and the neutrons, the proton, it's all by design. And when I was in the driver's ed school, I drove a college student who was in the sciences, physics. And I asked him a question. I asked him, how fast do the electrons spin around the nucleus of an atom? And I'm you know what? I think it's like the speed of light. You know how fast that is? It's pretty fast. And so I asked him, if they're going around a nucleus at the speed of light and they have mass, why are they still in that atom? Why aren't they shooting out all over the place? And he said, I don't know. And he said, honestly, it doesn't make sense to me either. Of course it doesn't. You know what's making those electrons stay in there and everything work the way it does so amazingly, seemingly miraculously, is because of the hand of God. He's holding those in there. The Word of God, the breath of God, that God whom we need to call is holding everything together until His time, and then He's going to let it all loose. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel, let all of you here today know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified in your heart, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And what do you think Peter said? I think he watched Andy Griffith, because he said, call the man. Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Call the man. You know what? It is so simple. You hear the gospel. You've heard it. You believe it? I bet you do. You repent of your sins because you know you've sinned. You confess Christ as the Son of the living God. You're baptized and immersed in the waters for the forgiveness of your sins to be added to the body of Christ, the church. And then you just live faithful lives in Christ. A lot of people live their lives pretty much the way they do now. We're not all bad people. The only difference is that one person called and were saved, and the other person didn't call and they're lost. Second Samuel 2:22-7, David. In my distress, I called upon Jehovah. You know, let me close with one more scripture and the lesson will be yours. Psalm number 119. Psalm 119. And we're going to go Psalm 119 to verse 57. Look at Psalm 119, verse 57. Listen to this. You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me. Be merciful to me according to your word. And look what he says next. It's just mind-boggling. I thought about my ways. That's what men do. My way. I thought about my way. And turned my feet to your testimonies. He called on the name of the Lord. He called the Lord. And why won't you do that today? Jesus Christ gives that invitation to everyone. To call on Him, to call on His name, to pick up that spiritual phone and say, Jesus Christ, I believe. I believe that You're the Son of the living God. I repent of my sins and I wish to confess Your name before men. I wish to be baptized for the remission of my sins. And I want to be in Your church. And so I'm calling on You. Our song tonight. God calling you. You know what? He's calling you. He's making it real easy. All you got to do is pick up. Let's stand and sing the song of invitation.